course, is the British rock band Queen rocking the Live Aid benefit concert that was back in 1986, an event recreated in last year's smash hit Bohemian Rhapsody. The film, which was based on the life of Queen lead singer Freddie Mercury, was huge at the box office, taking in over $900 million worldwide, the highest grossing musical biopic of all time. The film also nominated for 5 Academy Awards, including Best Picture, and Rami Malek won for Best Actor for playing Freddie Mercury. Just this spring, another musical biopic, Rocket Man, about the life of Sir Elton John, took in over $180 million worldwide. And coming down the road, Judy, based on the life of Judy Garland, and Respect, I should really say R-E-S-P-E-C-T, based on Aretha Franklin, as well as a multitude of other works in the pipeline. Joining us now is Sarah Rodman, features editor for EW. So many biopics, Sarah. What's going on here?
We have these trendlets that happen. Biopics have been popular for 50 years, not just musicians, but in general. But we have these trendlets where we get a clump at a time. If you just think about the last few years, we've had so many previous to Rocket Man. We've had Jimi Hendrix, Miles Davis, Hank Williams, Chet Baker, Motley Crue, we'll all remember earlier this year, Straight Outta Compton, and that's just in the last 5 years.
So many.
I think we tend to see it when there are big films as a trend,
sure.
But really it's just an ongoing thing.
They're always, yeah, always there, always bubbling up. I think particularly for fans, when they know an artist or they know a band really well and the script doesn't match what they know about the band or the person that they love, then there are problems. Then there's nitpicking.
Yes. Well, there's always going to be nitpicking in these movies because there is always dramatic license taken with the story. And I think that filmmakers are banking on, and wisely so, that your average everyday fan doesn't know the nitty-gritty details of most people's lives. They love the music. They bring that emotional feeling to the theater with them. And they are going to more or less happily accept what is being presented to them. It is the music nerds among us that start doing our fact checks and that start writing our articles about this thing happened at this time and not at that time, and get very heated up about chronology because now the average moviegoer has the quote unquote wrong information. And we get very excited about this. We get very exercised about, you know, this song was not written at this time that the movie says that it was.
Let's talk about the music. So for Bohemian Rhapsody, the music in the film was performed by Queen, with a Freddie Mercury sound-alike adding a few vocals here and there. But Rocket Man, the actor Taron Egerton, he did his own singing. Let's have a listen to a little bit of him doing Elton John and Bernie Taupin's classic, Your Song.
I don't have much money, but boy, if I dare, I'd buy a big house where both could live.
If I was a sculptor. Ooh, Sarah, what do you think of Taron's version of Elton John?
I think that Taron did a brave and strong job. I think there are two minds on this. That do you want to hear the original recording and have somebody lip sync and therefore there is a level of artifice there? Or do you want to have the actor sing and then it probably isn't going to sound like the thing you love? In this case, Elton John wanted Taron Egerton to sing. He wanted this to be sort of a fantastical gloss on his life, not a straight biopic. I thought he was lovely in the film. I tend to prefer it when people sound like the artist or their lip syncing, but that, you know, your mileage may vary on your preference.
Let's look ahead of what's coming up. You call this a trendlet. So let's examine the trendlet. We've got the biopic Judy, obviously about the life of Judy Garland. That's coming out in September. Renee Zellweger, like Taron Egerton, she's going to be doing her own singing. So this is a little bit of the trailer. This is not Judy Garland. This is Renee Zellweger.
Somewhere over the rainbow, way up high, there's a land that I've heard of once in a lullaby.
Sarah, so our directors in Hollywood who are looking at musical biopics, are they looking for singers who can act, actors who can sing? Does it matter?
I think they're generally looking for actors who can sing. I mean, and Renee's a good example. I mean, she had previously been in Chicago and was very well received for that. And all my Empire Records fans will remember that she sang in that movie many moons ago. I think the preference is to have somebody who is a known quantity as an actor who can also carry a tune. But then you have somebody like Jennifer Hudson in Dreamgirls, who is known as a singer, and then comes and blows everyone away with her acting as well in that film and wins an Oscar.
What do you think the formula is for a musical biopic? Because we've got Respect coming up with Aretha Franklin, and Aretha picked Jennifer Hudson to play her. What is it that we should expect? You know, like a rom-com, there's always a mashup.
Absolutely.
There's a clothing shop around. There's a funny best friend. What is it in a musical biopic that you have? I think some tragedy, that helps. What else?
Well, what it generally speaking, and there are so many films that follow this template, even the best of these films, and I am obsessed with these films, follow this template, that we meet the person at this incredible, or the group at this incredible peak of their career. And then we slowly fade into the past to see what their childhood tragedy was. This happens in so many movies. Or, like in Rocketman, what we get is the crash, and he is in rehab, and we fade back to the childhood. There is always some childhood trauma. And then there is this framing device where we either keep flashing back to Live Aid, or we just move forward chronologically. The one thing that we always get in a biopic, much like a rom-com, is the montage of when things get crazy. This happens in Rocket Man, where we have a spinning shot of Elton, and you get the billboard charts, and you get the paparazzi chasing them, and you get the wild orgies and drugs, and you get the bigger and bigger concert venues, and the sweaty backstage collapse after you've given all this.
Sarah, you are spoiling all of the plots of all of the musical biopics. All right, let's speed through a couple of the ones coming up that you're interested in, not necessarily about to come out, but in the works. So we've got Bradley Cooper coming back to directing, and this is an interesting choice, Leonard Bernstein's story.
Directing and starring, I think maybe A Star Is Born gave him the taste of how exciting it is to live a big life, and why not live the biggest lives of, you know, popular music in the 20th century. The man who wrote West Side Story and Candide and Wonderful Town and had this incredible life around the globe, conducting symphonies, a larger-than-life personality, somebody who translated classical music for the layperson.
All right, and then we've also got, there's so many. All right, another 15. We are not going to do all of them. We're not going to ruin the plot for all of these upcoming films. But I like this one, Sarah. Singer, rapper, and actor Tyrese Gibson, he's been signed on to play the R&B star Teddy Pendergrass. Your thoughts on that project? Family members are involved, so does that mean it will be complimentary?
I think that usually speaking, when the estate is involved, flaws do tend to be sanded down. Teddy Pendergrass had a made-for-biopic life, a wonderful soul singer, somebody that we think of as synonymous with a pleading soul sound, and Harold Melvin and the Blue Notes, If You Don't Know Me By Now.
If you don't know, if you don't know.
And then, of course, he has this terribly tragic car accident where he becomes paralyzed and then has his comeback at Live Aid. So Live Aid, again, playing a big part in another biopic coming up. I mean, he had a very interesting life. I'm quite frankly excited to see an R&B artist of his stature, who maybe younger people don't know now, but who was very important in his time, get this kind of treatment.
Sarah, I'm just thinking about current huge bands like BTS from South Korea or Beyonce. Will they, in maybe 10, 20 years' time, will they be good subjects for a musical biopic?
Well, BTS certainly will be, since there's so much mystery sort of surrounding the creation of those types of K-pop groups right now. Certainly Beyonce's had an enormous life. I would be a little worried about the Beyoncé coming after me if I wanted to do a Beyonce biopic. But I am sure someone will try. I mean, we will never get tired of ogling these big lives, and then on the same side, getting the sense that they're not that different from ours. I mean, that's what these movies ultimately are about.
Sarah, pick one musical biopic that everybody should see.
I'm going to pick a recent one that didn't get a lot of attention because it was an indie film by Ethan Hawke. It's a movie called Blaze. It's about a somewhat obscure but very gifted country musician named Blaze Foley. It's a small film, but it's really, really good. And then for a classic, I'm going to say Amadeus. Everybody should see Amadeus.
Oh, excellent. Thank you so much. It's been such a pleasure talking musical biopics with Sarah Rodman, features editor of EW. Sarah, thank you.
Thank you.
I got an angel of a woman, big blue eyes, friends in the country, old neckties, big cheeseburgers, good french fries. Could go fishing, but the fish draw flies. Could go swimming if it ain't too deep.